It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Sozi!
No, that's Matthew Sozi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sozi.
Hello, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Joining me, a gentleman who I actually asked in advance to be here, Mike Perry. You've heard me refer to him as the Tony Randall of the show, and it's usually when a guest cannot make it for whatever reason. So, like Tony Randall back in the NBC days of David Letterman, I bring Mike Perry on, the Director of On-Air Branding and Special Events. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fine. And yourself? I didn't have to work up a sweat to come in here.
Yes, thank you, because you knew ahead of time. So.
I knew ahead of time.
And, of course, Christina Euland, who is the Director of Corporate and Foundation Support here at WFYI. Welcome.
Hi, Matt.
Glad to have you here.
Glad to be here.
We'll talk about your artwork in your office later.
Great.
Yes, I have. I think my goal is to get every staff member in here, at least. Isn't this part of a requirement? Of working here, you have to come appear on the show.
It's like a college hazing, or
thanks a lot.
Yeah,
not caramel hazing.
No.
Let's move on, shall we? Okay. Well, oh my goodness. Well, let's see what opened in theaters, not screened for the press. Killers. Let's move on. Well, you can't really. Comment. I try not to comment on films I haven't seen. I'm just wondering, what's the over-under on when Katherine Heigl said she enjoyed making the film and then said it was a miserable experience?
I'm thinking after the first week's gate is published.
And how many tweets, because he's the king of tweeting. I don't care.
The Tweety King.
Yeah. I don't know. Also, jeez. Get Into the Greek, also on theaters. But no, ladies and gentlemen, I got to see the latest from Dark Castle Pictures, which is the horror branch of Warner Brothers. Thanks, Joel Silver. The same studio that gave us things like the remake of 13 Ghosts, House on Haunted Hill, and last year's family-friendly film, Orphan. I'm sarcastic there. This one is called Splice, and it stars, and no, I noticed I didn't say this in the trailer, Academy Award winner Adrian Brody. And Sarah Polley, who directed one of my favorite films of the last decade, the Alzheimer's drama Away From Her, also known for Shaun of the Dead, Dawn of the Dead, the remake, Go, Baron Munchausen, Sweet Hereafter, and such and such. Give this a listen.
Here he comes.
Careful.
All clear.
That's it.
Heart rate stable.
If we don't use human DNA now, someone else will.
Regulators and politicians, they tear us to pieces.
I'm going to go to jail for this.
Human cloning is illegal. This won't be human. Not entirely. It's coming out.
It's not due for months.
Slippery. What was that?
A mistake.
Tempting.
I'm not gonna hurt you.
Nobody can see what we made.
Aging fast. Days within a matter of minutes.
What are we supposed to do?
Lock her away from the world?
We change the rules. Cross the line.
It's the worst that could happen.
Okay, I think first of all, if you win an Oscar, you should be labeled that your entire career.
Yes.
No matter
like
the
being
film.
President.
Yeah, kind of like being president. Yeah. In fact, I think in Adrian's case, it should be Academy Award winner and smooch, Halle Berry that night, because that was actually one of the great Oscar moments.
And so far, that's been the high point of his career. I mean, it's kind of slid.
Well, I'll give this about Mr. Brody. I guess when you Roger Ebert once said, if you're nominated, you're guaranteed one film, and if you win, you're guaranteed three. Now, I think with Mr. Brody, and of course, Mr. Brody's big paycheck was King Kong.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I have to give him credit. He's been picking out projects that are not the obvious big blockbusters, although I don't know about this one, and I know he's in Predator, the new Predator reboot that's coming out later this summer. But I think he just picked films that he wanted to work on, like Singing Detective mm-hmm. and The Village, which I guess that was a big film. Not big results.
Hey, I love The Village. It's my favorite Shyamalan film.
That's your favorite Shyamalan
yeah,
film?
It really,
really
is. It really
wow.
is.
Wow. I'd have picked the Rosie O'Donnell Nun movie over that one.
Can I make a comment about the audio clip?
Please.
That sounds eerily like an audio clip that might come from a movie I would make about grant writing. Like the process they went through to get that monstrosity.
I want to be at your next meeting. And
yeah, I got a lot of good creative material from that just now.
See, that's why I'm here, among other things, is to provide film entertainment and give my coworkers morale. excuse me. Okay. where do I begin? It's interesting that Sarah Polley says it's alive, because that's the first thing that popped into my head when I watched this film. If you remember the monster baby movies in the 1970s, mm-hmm. but imagine It's Alive, written by Tennessee Williams. What you don't quite well, you kind of pick up on this. The Brody and Polley character are a couple. They want a child, and one wants a child, the other doesn't, and there's talk about this, and since the experiment, for lack of a better comparison, ages quickly, they decide
a la Dolly the Sheep sort of thing?
Sort of.
Okay.
They basically adopt their creation. So now we start getting into what is an experiment and what is family, and I said Tennessee Williams. And if you know the plays of Tennessee Williams, you know what I mean. And one of the big selling points, I think, for this film, the big word of mouth, is a couple scenes that have... Oh, by the way, the other plot point excuse is the DNA changes gender halfway through. And I'm just going to leave it at that. But,
okay, that you got more of my interest
now. See, I know, and you wrote that on my Facebook page. I know. It's... And by the way, I don't think I'm giving him too much away, but David Edelstein of Fresh Air, who you can hear next after this show, he liked it. I know some of my colleagues liked it. It got actually a good write-up in the review in The Onion.
Yeah.
It just really made me feel icky. It really did. I compared it to Orphan. I think it's the second. I think it could be on a double feature with Orphan, which came out last year, of just really unpleasant sci-fi horror.
Is there a lot of slime? It seems like there would be a lot of slime.
There's a little slime, but not a whole lot. It's not like you can't do that on television or Ghostbusters for that matter. No, there's other things that are slimier. Let's just leave it at that, I should say.
I read several of the reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, which gave it an overall of 68 or something like that.
Okay.
But the recurring theme, they kept taking it back to a modern-day Frankenstein story, and dealing with the ethical ramifications of creating life.
There is that, but there's the two moments I'm trying not to bring up, just kind of throw that idea out of the water, because it just becomes an exploitation film instead of a debate on what's moral and what's ethical.
Mm-hmm.
Because the two big points in this film, I'm not going to say, at least not on air, because, but it's just really, I don't know. And I say they do press a lot of parental buttons as well between the relationship between the couple and how do they take care of their creation. Okay, yeah, I guess I hadn't thought of the modern Frankenstein concept, but because I'm still stuck on two unspeakable moments that really brought the house down for a lot of people, I felt like I needed a shower.
Does the thing happen?
Turn it off. Turn it off!
You were saying.
Does the creation have some sort of a romantic entanglement?
So anyway, wow, thanks for lobbing that grapefruit turkey.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Let's move on, shall we? Also in theater. Actually, not in theater, tonight. And we know it's summer because, well, my daughter's out of school, and Barn Rats is coming up, and Chicago Blues Fest is coming up. But the IMA, the Indianapolis Museum of Art, starts their outdoor movie series. There's no movie series. So get a picnic basket and a bottle of wine, or else they have refreshments for you. And tonight they are starting with Julie Taymor's Across the Universe with Evan Rachel Wood and the other people.
And yeah.
The music of the Beatles.
I can never remember the guy's name.
I don't know, but it's the guy
who's in 21 and...
Yeah,
we don't know who he is, but
we know Evan Rachel Wood, except I always think of her as Mrs. Manson, and that also makes me icky. Julie Taymor, of course, gave us Titus and The Lion King on Broadway and Frida. And visually it is impressive.
Yes, it is.
And it's the story of two kids in college in the late 60s, all done to the tune of the songbook of the Beatles. And this is one of those geekism things where I knew too much about the Beatles that I couldn't enjoy the show.
Really?
Enjoy the film. Yeah, I was too distracted. You know, Dear Prudence, they're knocking on a door to a woman who won't come out of her closet. You know, She's So Heavy is used during the Army soldier recruitment. Mm-hmm. I mean, just, that's not what these songs mean. I know what you're trying to do, but no, I'm too thinky.
I wasn't quite so attached to the Beatles music when I was growing up. I mean,
okay.
You know, I listened to it, but I was never a big Beatles fan. My only draw to this movie was seeing how she managed to work the songs in and made a story that makes sense.
And?
She was kind of hit and miss with it, but, I mean, like you said, it's a very visually stunning movie.
She is.
And it's what I like to call like a bad acid trip movie. It's got a lot of psychedelic sequences in it, but it's very well done. The performers, from what I understand, all did their own singing.
That helps.
And Jim Sturgis.
Wow.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
That's why you're here.
We'll try to get caught up here.
That's all right.
He's not holding an iPhone, by the way.
No, he's not.
True. But, you know, I took my daughter to see this. She's 25. We still had daddy-daughter date movies that we go see, and this is one we targeted. And, you know, as immediately after, you know, we left the movie, we ordered the soundtrack albums. And
okay.
It was an okay experience. I wouldn't mind going to see that outside. That'd be...
Now, let me ask you this. I'm someone who doesn't like a lot of music in my movies.
I generally don't either.
So, silent movies are right up your alley? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the musicals, what I'm saying.
Ah, okay. Well, all right.
People really don't like that about me. But, so, I did love Grease, perennial favorite. And I also didn't mind Mamma Mia.
Mm-hmm.
Is it better or worse than Mamma Mia?
Better. Well,
I avoided Mamma Mia.
The issue, I call Mamma Mia celebrity okey, because that is what it is.
Okay, better or worse than Nine?
Okay, I love Nine.
Okay.
You couldn't drag me to see Nine.
Nine made my top five, and I'm still getting
really?
Three for it. Yeah,
okay.
Really. I'll get to yourself in a second. All right. No, the thing about Mamma Mia for me was... it took a while. It took about three or four songs. I think it was Dancing Queen. Once that, and the old Greek women are jumping up, once the film embraces its silliness, it's fun to watch.
Mm-hmm.
But the first 20, 30 minutes of girl bonding and them, Meryl Streep and Christine Baranski rolling around in the bedroom, not that way, and Julie Walters, you know, trying to act like they're 12, like their daughter. Like, yeah, just your yaya sisterhood. Right. Get to the funny stuff. And I mean, once it got past that and you really, really are pushing for Pierce to hit a note, And obviously the women fared better than the guys, mm-hmm. singing-wise. You know, that's a no-brainer job. You can't turn that down. You know, I know Pierce got a lot of grief because he cannot sing that well. But I'm like, okay, you got a chance to do a movie with Meryl Streep in Greece. You can't say no. It's like Keanu Reeves and Much Ado About Nothing. You can't turn this job down. So I'll give it that.
But it could be an enjoyable, you know, gathering outside and
yes, you can have your Sex and the City
parties,
but the IMA thing will be a good time on that. Okay, do you know what the theme to Greece is?
The theme?
Yeah.
Like the overarching theme?
What's the message we get from Greece?
Men in leather are sexy?
If you want to be popular, you have to dress like a tramp.
Oh, I wasn't even thinking of the pink ladies. I was thinking of the T-bird.
Men in, 35-year-old high schoolers in leather are hot. And yes, my friend Alicia in Georgia is going to make fun of me because, you know, Rizzo has to have two naps before she can finish school. Because Sacra Channing was 36 when she made that movie.
Was she 36? How old was Olivia Newton-John? She wasn't
Not quite 36. No, none of them were.
Yeah.
None of them were. So I have issues with Grease, obviously. You know, all that disco music in the 50s.
But Ben, Grease is the word.
Shut up.
Right. Look, Summer 11 happens.
Look,
so
just she's down this. She's in the other studio. Was she ventriloquist dying? My old producer who loves to remind me of that ridiculous phase. Okay. And the other thing, I enjoyed 9 because I'm a big Fellini freak and really enjoyed the energy, and not just mentioning Penelope Cruz, but I enjoyed seeing the angst-ridden artists, you know, not being able to write. I know what that's like. Maybe.
Another ode to Grant writing.
And you don't like 9 and you can't, you know, you have trouble with Grant writing? Or maybe it's too close to home. Oh, you don't have trouble. Oh, I stand corrected, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's take a short break. We'll get into the DVDs and other titles. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs. You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open a video store!
And a video store is open. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. On Mondays, we're available as a podcast. I'm here with Mike Perry and Christina Yulin. Co-workers here at WFYI. We get into what's new on DVD and Blu-ray, and it's a film, yes, I'm sad to admit, my smarter two-thirds got to see before me for whatever reason. See, the thing about this job, folks, is I don't see every single movie. It just feels like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and finally on DVD and Blu-ray, and I think this is, I don't know if this is still in regular theaters or released at the Dollars is still around, but Alice in Wonderland. The latest
Tim Burton.
I think
it's still lingering. At least it was a week or so ago.
So, yeah, the timeline between cinema and DVD and Blu-ray is getting a little closer and a little closer. We will see. And, well, it's not a remake per se. Alice is 19, and a lot of the familiar characters are there, and it feels like the first time in other Foreigners hits, but not quite.
You know, naughty.
Yes, Johnny Depp is working with Tim Burton again, as well as Helena Bonham Carter and her giant forehead, looking like Pale Sade. I hear Alan Rickman's voice in this, and you know, quite a few here characters. Okay, I think you were about to chime in, Mr. Perry, before we hit the clip.
Yeah, Johnny Depp just phoned this one in. I think you and I talked about this on the show before.
Yeah, and by the way, he's not in as prominent as I think the poster, the Elijah Wood looking posters of him.
Oh yeah, they absolutely sold this on the strength of Johnny Depp, and
he's not. It's Alice who's the star of this picture. Yeah. And he doesn't get to do a whole heck of a lot, and I'm already hearing rumblings. Not people in and out of this building that I think they want Mr. Depp to take a break from Mr. Burton's films. I don't know.
It may not be the worst thing for him. I mean, if you take a look at the string of movies he just done just did with him, like Sweeney Todd and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I mean, it's like his next role steals a little bit from the last role he had, and which. Stole a little bit from the role before that. I mean, I don't think he brought anything new or interesting to the Mad Hatter except a really bad Scottish accent.
Well, you know what? And I people talked about that voice going in and out. Let's not forget that, you know, Mad is in his title, so yeah. It can go. So does this mean he's going to look like Elijah Wood when they make Dark Shadows?
Oh.
That seems to be, and I'm not an internet rumor fan, and I don't even know if they've begun shooting on that or not. My theory is, until I see a poster or a trailer, I don't care.
Okay.
But the latest one had been that they're going to collaborate on making a film version of Dark Shadows, the famous British vampire.
That could be interesting, but man,
if they go down the Sweeney Todd and make it an R, I think so. I think we have our fill of PG-13 vampires,
right.
with or without glitter. Yeah. So, well. I'm one of those people, and I also got grief for 9. Now I'm getting grief. I actually enjoyed the remake of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory because I think the original and its remakes had its own strengths and weaknesses. And what you can get from a Tim Burton film, visually impressive, technically impressive. My problem with the film was the fact that they made her 19, and the whole point of the film, the whole point of her falling down the hole and other Jefferson Airplane lyrics, was that so she could say no to Lord Snooty Face at the end. That's all?
Yeah, really?
That's kind of a contact-size, underwhelming ending.
And it was a no-brainer from the start. She just said,
yeah, like, read a Jane Austen novel, for God's sake.
Yeah.
he would save his time. So, yeah, I was not that crazy about it.
How was the cat?
Cat's fine.
Oh, the cat was fine.
That was a cool animated CG image as opposed to having a person.
And it went from being just marginally creepy in the cartoon version to really creepy in the Tim Burton version of the Cheshire Cat.
You know who my favorite Red Queen still is?
Who?
Angelian.
Yes.
Remember that from the 80s?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But Carter's fine. She's capable. So it's just, Yeah, it's a lot of money, and I didn't see it in 3D, so I don't know. I guess the hat is a big one, whatever. and the cat, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, a little underwhelming, and that's kind of a shame, because I think there's certain filmmakers like Burton that the bar is set a little higher, mm-hmm. hopefully, when it comes to their work. So here you go.
Otto, don't flatter yourself. It wasn't that great.
Speaking of wasn't that great, Wolfman.
Ooh.
Oh, jeez. Yes, are we? I think we're done. No, Creature. Universal hasn't remade Creature of the Black Lagoon yet, have they?
No. No.
They've done Dracula.
Give them time.
I know. They've done Dracula. They've done Frankenstein. Oh, Invisible. Oh, Hollow Man.
Because I think their goal is to remake all these classics.
Well, yes.
There's supposed to be a series of them. Yeah. And then have them intermingle again, just like the old
days.
And
who's going to play Abbott and Costello?
I don't know.
I don't want to know.
It'd be Andy Richter and somebody.
Somebody. Some other guy. Seth Rogen.
Yeah, there you go.
Maybe. All right, I'll give it a listen.
She exerts enormous power, doesn't she?
You believe in curses.
Darkest hours of hell lie before you. Run free. Kill or be killed.
I, of course, love Victorian rock.
Oh, yeah. Actually, that was the best part of the movie for me. Was
the score?
No, the trailer.
Oh.
The trailer is pretty good, but
now
the movie...
Some of the voices you recognize, Benicio Del Toro, Anthony Hopkins, your girl,
Emily Blunt.
Emily Blunt, and Hugo Weaving, who I think is the best part of the film.
Yes, he absolutely steals this movie every scene he's in.
And Christina, we were snickering earlier. I've actually come up with a new game, which I inflicted upon Mr. Perry upon seeing this, and you'll just have to catch up. It's all right.
Okay.
Benicio del Toro's character's name is Lawrence, and his name is said quite often in the film, most often by his dad, played by Anthony Hopkins. Wonder what the mom looked like. Mm. I love cinematic gene pools, and. Lawrence has said so much that another film got stuck in my head, and this was what stuck in my head.
Lawrence, Lawrence of Arabia, he's an English guy. He came to fight the Turkish.
Okay, Clark, right there. That's what I'm talking about. Lawrence of Arabia doesn't have any lyrics to it. Doesn't have any words.
What do you mean doesn't have lyrics?
It's music. It's music.
That's in the movie four times.
And there were no... words to it.
What are you
there are no words to that. Did you hear what I was singing earlier?
Somewhere I know that somebody, I think, wrote lyrics to this song.
Do you know that film at all?
No.
That's from the 1980 slob classic, The
Hollywood
Nights.
Did not see that.
Oh, add that to your Netflix account.
I will.
Robert Wool, Fran Drescher.
At the time, the big name in it was Tony Danza and a very young Michelle Pfeiffer from 1980. Mm-hmm. And it's a
Is that pre Who's the Boss?
Oh yeah,
way pre. This is during Taxi.
Yeah,
this is during Taxi. Yeah,
this is one of the first movies he did while he was doing Taxi.
Yeah, and it's 1960s California, and it's just all the kind of post Animal House shenanigans, and a very funny film. And yes, there's two cops that argue on whether there are lyrics to Lawrence of Arabia. And actually, one of the first movie bonding moments you and I had, Mike, was the fact that we knew this movie and we knew that song. So anyway, I told him about this, and then he saw the movie. He went, "Damn you!" He kept thinking of that every time his name was said.
I'd start singing it in the theater, man. Lawrence.
Yeah, you're right. I just have to catch up.
Yeah,
that's really. But yes, another film, and this apparently has been happening recently with, I know it happened with Robin Hood and a few others, but I guess maybe as a dad, I'm wondering, can we have a break on lead characters who have dad issues?
Yeah.
Really? Please? I mean, I'm not asking for mom issues, but man, Wolfman needs a hug.
Yeah, he does.
You know, he and Robin Hood could go join the Promise Keepers and grunt in the fire and hug and something. My gosh.
Not a big Benicio fan.
I am.
But he kind of captured the Lon Chaney, you know, almost lovable schlub thing from the original movie. But I just never saw any spark or chemistry or anything between him and Emily Blunt.
No, not at all. Not at all. And Hopkins, you know, he's got another paycheck. I like seeing Hopkins, and sometimes even when he phones it in, it's kind of entertaining. Not quite so much in this one, and that fight scene at the end is really ridiculous.
And it's almost like he saw his animated self in Beowulf and said, you know, that's not a bad look. Because he's kind of grown into that. Yeah.
And now that the movie's out, now is the time to ask him what he really thought of the film. One of my favorite moments with Hopkins was he was on Letterman, and Dave would bring up the old flashcards, old movie stills, and he pulled up one from Lion in Winter. That was his first film, so he talked about working with Katharine Hepburn. And then there was one from Silence of the Lambs, so he talked about that. And then just throwing a curveball, he shows up a picture of Free Jack. With him, Emilio Estevez, and Mick Jagger. And Hopkins saw that. Oh, that was total rubbish. So.
Couldn't have said it better there, Mr. Hopkins.
I agree. So here it is.
No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no! No!
Yes, I agree. All right. There's some other titles that came out on DVD and Blu-ray. I think I said before, my family is on vacation, so I've been, you know, promising, and I have been shaving and wearing pants even at home, but I found
if not in the studio,
definitely in the studio, definitely with guests. Come on, but coming out on DVD this week from 20th Century Fox and MGM because they're all intertwining, the Elvis Presley 75th Birthday Collection.
Wow.
My daughter is a big Elvis fan, the 8-year old, and opening up my psyche. My mother was a big Elvis fan, so I'm the guy that's seen every Elvis film ever made. Now my daughter wants to follow in Dad's footsteps. I know.
I used to work Master Control in an independent television station, so I too have seen every Elvis movie ever made.
But that was
that's
work,
all they'd air
that was
on
work
Sunday
related.
Afternoons. Yeah.
Well, this is what's in the collection, and it's not. I got a pretty good deal from a certain shop in town, but Clambake, which it's Prince and the Pauper, Frankie and Johnny. He works with Donna
Douglas.
Yes, thank you.
Ellie
May. And Harry Morgan sings in that film if you're into celebrity okey or golden throats. But the real reason why I got this is because some of his more dramatic work, which I don't think have been, some of them haven't been on DVD yet. There's, well, Follow That Dream, which is kind of light and not as beach-oriented as some of his other films. Kid Galahad, the remake of Kid Galahad with Gig Young as the mobster and his trainer is a young Charles Bronson.
Cool.
So that's not bad. Flaming Star, worked with Barbara Eden. Western, directed by Don Siegel. Love Me Tender, his first film. Not bad.
Yep.
And Wild in the Country, where he's torn between Hope Lang and Tuesday Weld.
Wouldn't be?
Yes, what a bad place to be. So more of the more serious stuff, and I hope she likes them. All right. Let's see. Some of the titles I'm going through in alphabetical order. Thank you, Onion. On Blu-ray, a lot of Clint titles are out on Blu-ray now, like Absolute Power, which some people really cannot stand. Maybe because the president is a criminal, played by Gene Hackman, but Laura Linney is her daughter. I actually kind of liked it. Bad Boys is on Blu-ray, the cop film, not the Sean Penn.
Yeah,
I don't need that. Yeah. Also on Universal, speaking of Elvis, Elvis's last film. Anybody know the title? Anybody remember?
Change of Habit?
Yes,
with Mary Tyler Moore.
Sister Mary Tyler Moore. Okay, here's your film geek information for the day. Change of Habit was the last film in which Elvis plays the swinging ghetto's doctor, and Mary Tyler Moore and two of her other friends are undercover nuns. They've taken off their habits and are helping out in the clinic. Elvis's character name in that film is Dr. John Carpenter.
Dun, 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 dun.
So, and of course, there was a movie made about Elvis was starring Kurt Russell back in 1979 for ABC Television, directed by
John Carpenter.
Kurt Russell played in an Elvis film. He was the kid that kicked Elvis in the shin so he could get swanky with the nurse, and it happened at the World's Fair. There you go.
Did you do that all in your own head, or did you read that somewhere?
It's in my own head. Yeah, that information's in my head.
Okay.
I love you, Mom. Also on DVD, Charlie Varrick.
Back when,
remember when there was that brief period when Walter Matthau was doing action crime films, like Taking in the Pelham 1-2-3, Laughing Policeman, and this? Also directed by Don Siegel. Love Don Siegel as a director. Really enjoyed his work. The Clint Eastwood collection on Blu-ray with some of the titles I'm already talking about. Wow, Universal's really opening up the closet and just letting anything out on DVD or Blu-ray. Dragonfly, the Costner thriller.
Oh, God.
That wasn't thrilling at all. No. On Blu-ray is a double feature, The Enforcer and Sudden Impact.
Oh, not, that'd be a nice Friday
That's
night.
Not bad.
Yeah.
That's not bad. You get Tyne Daly packing heat. The Gauntlet's
well,
on Blu-ray.
Well, 30 years ago, Tyne Daly.
I'm afraid you're right.
Okay, cool.
Yes, I know. It's I know, because I'm not going to be mean. Right. Also, speaking of cleaning out the closet or scraping it, Ghost Dad. Nobody asked for
ew,
that.
Ew.
Who was the Ghost Dad?
Bill Cosby.
That's right.
Yeah, nobody.
It made so many worst movies ever made lists. It's,
nobody asked for that. Oh, nobody asked for Gotcha. Remember the tag movie with Anthony Edwards and Linda Fiorentino?
Oh, yeah.
Grace of My Heart, not bad. That's Ileana Douglas trying to be Carole King, but it's not based on Carole King songwriting. Grey Lady Down, Charlton Heston.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. People of the 80s, hold your knickers. On Universal DVD, Hard to Hold. The film acting debut of one Rick Springfield.
Oh, God, yes.
After General Hospital.
Yes, I think he left General Hospital to pursue the film career, and that was it.
Jesse's Girl. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Best use of Jesse's Girl, Boogie Nights.
Ah.
Yeah, I'd have to agree.
Also, my God, Universal's putting out Havana. The one with Robert Redford Raul Julia that's not Casablanca. It's so not Casablanca because it's set in Cuba. Warner Blu-ray, Heartbreak Ridge. Clint Eastwood movie film, enjoyed that. Hillary and Jackie, actually a good film. Emily Watson and Rachel Griffiths. Another double feature on Warner Blu-ray, Kelly's Heroes and Where Eagles Dare.
Oh, excellent.
The two military films from Clint Eastwood, one with Richard Burton, Don Rickles, Donald Sutherland. The other one, it's not The Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
Wow, Cuffs is out on DVD, Christian Slater. Madigan, another film directed by Don Siegel with Richard Widmark and Henry Fonda. Henry Fonda married to Susan Clark. Once Around, with Richard Dreyfuss, Jenna Rollins, Holly Hunter.
Oh, that's a strange one.
I know. It's on DVD now. Yeah. Warner Blu-ray, Pale Rider.
Love it.
Love that. It's not Shane. It's Pale Rider. Mm-hmm. Still enjoyed it. Warner Brothers is also putting out, I don't have the episodes per se. Not per se. I don't have the episodes. Peanuts 1970s Collection Volume 2.
Would that be the...
Probably all these.
It's Valentine's
Arbor
Day.
Arbor Day, yeah. Maybe.
The also ran Charlie Brown movies.
Boxing Day, Wrestling Day for Charlie Brown,
yeah.
The Rookie, no, that's the bad Clint Eastwood Charlie Sheen film, not the Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
Space Cowboys,
fun, yeah, very
that
good.
Very,
that was fun.
Fun.
That was fun. Those four guys. Splitting Hairs on Universal. Stop or My Mom Will Shoot on Universal.
Oh, God.
I know Rue is dead and Estelle's been dead for a long time, but that movie should be dead. And, oh, a little close to home, a little close to my heart, on Lionsgate. Apparently it's a double feature, both Three Musketeers and Four Musketeers
from the
70s. Richard Lester with Richard Chamberlain and Charlton Heston.
Faye Dunaway.
The visually stunning Raquel Welch.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Also on Universal, for you disaster movie fans, that's not really a disaster per se. I keep saying per se, I don't know why. But 2 Minute Warning.
Remember the sniper
in the football stadium with Charlton Heston? Yes. And on DreamWorks Blu-ray... War of the Worlds, one with Tom Cruise, directed by Steven Spielberg, and, because you know you want it, Wild Things Foursome.
Ooh.
I didn't name them, folks.
You had to go all the way to the bottom of the list?
I did.
Okay.
Now you know. Now you, there's
very bottom.
Very bottom.
Yeah.
Trust
apparently.
Me. I'm a guy, and I have I've never seen
any of
the sequels.
You have a sound effect
sequels.
For that?
How about this?
Scraping of
no! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no!
Okay, we're going to take a short break, and we'll talk some more. So you're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI, HD2 The Point, and WFYI.org.
Not alone.
We got guests.
You got what?
Guests. Guests.
Guests.
Yeah, guests. People. We got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Who are you?
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
Opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Film Sociology. That's a good intro when I have guests here. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook. Mike Perry and Christina Yulin are in with us. Guys, what's just before we continue the chat, what's going on in your cubicles? What do we have coming up for WFYI?
Well, we're about to launch the summer TV pledge campaign.
Okay.
Love it, love it. We had Michael Feinstein in studio last night.
Just saw him last night.
Mm-hmm. He was here first.
Yep.
Yes.
And he shot some stuff for us. We'll be airing his special tomorrow night. And Celtic Thunder guys are back, and it's a lot of music this time.
Have the Celtic women answered any of your letters yet?
No.
Got to work on that. Christina?
You had to remind me.
I'm sorry, man.
We've got the big kids event coming up. Not this weekend, but next weekend.
PBS, Let's Get Me Kids in the Park.
PBS, Kids in the Park.
Thank you. That's why I'm not working it.
That's a free event for families here in Central Indiana, and it is at Military Park on the IUPUI campus this year, so that's a nice... Yes. Nice change. There's going to be plenty of shade, lots of activities for the kids, lots of PBS characters.
So it's not at Pan Am Plaza this year. New location.
I don't think
it was ever at Pan Am Plaza.
No, I'm sorry. American Legion Mall. American Legion Mall.
Thank you for clearing that up.
It is at Military Park. Anyway, it's a great fun day for families. We're proud to be able to present that.
Good. Now, the other reason why I brought you both here, because I besides caring for you dearly, but you each wanted to get something off your chest, and as we learned before the show started, that the rant isn't nearly as venom-filled as we thought was going to be, but there were still some concerns about a sale over a particular movie chain, right?
Yes.
Mike?
Mike and I are very much on the same page.
Now it turns into Dr. Soucy Film Therapist. Okay.
Christine and I each have our favorite Carasotis Theater.
Yes.
And
different Carasotis Theater.
Yes. Yeah. I go to the one at Trader's Point.
I go to the one down in the south side, the Showplace 16.
And the chain has been sold to AMC. And we're fearful for changes. We're creatures mm-hmm. of habit. We fear change. And as long as I can still get my $5 movie on the weekends and my refills on everything, I could still be happy with this.
But you can only get $5 movies on the weekends before noon.
Yeah, and that's kind of sad.
But here's the plus side. But let's back up. If you're familiar with the Carasotas Theater, you know they have a $5 club
mm-hmm. yes.
where you can sign up, you get a little plastic card, and then when movies have been out about 2 weeks, you can see those movies for $5.
Right.
Very straightforward, and every week you get an email. Here are the new $5 club movies. So now with the sale to AMC, everyone was asking what will happen to the $5 club. It was on the FAQs on the website, Hot Topic. So I found out today via email from AMC that as of June 18th, the traditional $5 club will go away. However, AMC will have $5 movies Monday through Thursday, all day, no card needed. Anybody can see a movie for $5. But then on the weekends, $5 movies only before noon, and everything else is full price on the weekends.
Oh, that's cool.
I think I can work with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
concessions are another issue.
It's the concessions. I like the fact that Carasotas give you a free refill on any size. Yeah. I don't have to get the two-gallon jug.
Now, I hate to be devil's advocate, but I think we also need to blame opening the rush of having to see everything opening weekend for maybe the death of the $5 movie and the fact that, yeah, you're like me. I would order a small and just keep making a check.
And that's what you do, right? Oh, yeah.
Lame romantic part in a cop movie. Okay, let's go get more. Right. But
I don't want to get a drink that's so big that I have to leave in the middle of the movie.
You pee in the cup.
They always try to up
No, you pee in the cup.
So they say only for a quarter more you can get this size, and I always say the same thing. I find that size unwieldy. I prefer the small.
Wow. And they have to go look that up when you say that.
Sometimes. Okay. You know, my first job was at a Carasotas Theater.
Wow.
Bloomington. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Man. So do you feel better? Are we okay?
I'm
withholding judgment.
We're waiting and seeing how the next couple of weeks go. Right.
If they let me put my own butter on my popcorn. Yeah. I don't like for them to do it for me.
Got the first taste of AMC last week when I went to see Prince of Persia. And the trailers and the interstitials ahead of the time were all changed to AMC stuff.
Yeah, I didn't feel good about it.
No, I said, oh, my God, change is coming.
I know what you won't eat at the movies. Celery.
No, not ever again.
Not after MacGruber.
Oh.
Well, you can eat celery, just not out of Will Forte's crack, that's all.
Yeah, that was way too
Things are taking a turn for the worse.
Not even Ryan Phillippe's.
No, we know Reese won't.
Yeah.
All right, before things get, let's get things back in order, before things get really off the handle. Everybody raise their glass. Here's a little audio salute to Dennis Hopper.
What kind of beer do you like? Heineken! Yes! Pat's Blue Ribbon! You're Sicilian, huh? Sicilian. No. I read a lot. Especially about things, about history. I find it fascinating. Here's a fact. I don't know whether you know or not. Well, Sicilians were spawned by Nis.
Come again?
it's a fact. Yeah. You see, Sicilians have black blood pumping through their hearts. If you don't believe me, you can look it up hundreds and hundreds of years ago. The Moors conquered Sicily. And the Moors are this. See, way back then, Sicilians were like wops from northern Italy. They all had blonde hair and blue eyes. But, then the Moors moved in there and, they changed the whole country. They did so much with Sicilian women, that they changed the whole bloodline forever. That's why blonde hair and blue eyes became black hair and dark skin. You know, it's absolutely amazing to me to think that to this day, hundreds of years later, that Sicilians still carry that gene.
Now, this...
No, I'm quoting.
History. It's written. It's a fact. It's written.
I love this guy. No. This guy. No.
No. Your ancestors are... Hey. Yeah. And your great, 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 great grandmother. Oh, yeah. And she had to have a kid. Now, if that's a fact, tell me, am I lying? Because you're part eggplant.
Hey. You're a cantaloupe.
Beautiful.
And you, what are you? You direct traffic from the darkness. You plan the battles and you're never there when they're fought. Why don't you come out in the light? Why don't you come up here alongside of me? Why don't you give me a name and a face and a reason why?
You know what we ought to do, man? First thing, go and get us a groovy dinner. Yeah, break out some of that cash, man.
Out here in the wilderness, fighting Indians and cowboys on every side.
What's my example? You really zoned, eh?
No, I'm just kind of tired.
Man, you pull him inside, man. You're getting a little distance tonight. You're getting a little distance, man.
Yeah. Well, I'm just cutting my thing together.
Hey! Listen to me. I set my neck out for you. Well, you live up here in a bargain, or get yourself in a hospital and dry out.
I didn't think I could cut it.
You could cut it. I didn't think I could cut it the other night either, but after what Jimmy did, it would take the Indiana National Guard to get me out of here.
Well, there's a shot.
Hey, we're coming together as a team. With Jimmy, all the pistons are firing. We got 10 games to play, right? We're going to be a tough team to beat. Now, you come along for the ride, okay?
But you got to give me your word that you will not be kicked out of no games.
Scout's honor.
Scouts of honor. Yes.
Hi. Americans. American civilians. All right. And you got the cigarettes, and that's what I've been dreaming of.
Yeah.
Who are you? Mm. Who are you? I'm a photojournalist. I've covered the war since 64. I've been in Laos, Cambodia, Nam. Cooey. Cooey, baby. I'll tell you one thing. This boat is a mess, man. Woo. Mm-hmm.
Who are all these people?
Yeah, well, they think you've come to take him away. And I hope that isn't true.
Take who away?
Him. Colonel Kurtz. These are all his children, man, as far as you can see. Hell, man, out here, we're all his children.
Could we, talk to Colonel Kurtz?
Hey, man, you don't talk to the Colonel, well, you listen to him. The man's enlarged my mind. He's a poet, warrior in the classic sense. I mean, sometimes you'll say hello to him, right? And he'll just walk right by you, and he won't even notice you. And then suddenly he'll grab you, and he'll throw you in a corner, and he'll say, "Do you know that if is the middle word in life? If you can keep your head when all about you losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you." I mean, I can't. I'm a little man. He's a great man. I should have been a pair of ragged claws scuttling across floors of silent seas. I mean,
stay with the book.
Hey, don't go without me, okay? I want to get a picture.
It can be terrible. It can be mean. And it can be right. He's fighting the war. He's a great man.
I mean, I wish I had words, you know. I wish I had words. I can tell you something like the other day he wanted to kill me. Something like that.
Why do you want to kill you?
Because I took his picture. He said if you take my picture again, I'm going to kill you.
This day has been real disappointing, I don't mind saying.
Why, because you didn't get to kill everyone?
There will come a time, boy, when you'll wish you never met me.
Mister, I'm already there.
You see, I'm in charge here. I drop this stick, huh? And they pick your friend up with a sponge. Are you ready to die, friend? In 200 years, we've come for my regret, but I have one life to give for my country to you.
Go ahead and drop the stick. Do it.
Shut up, Harry.
Oh, we got all the balls in the world right here, man.
You still don't get it, do you, Jack? Huh? The beauty of it. A bomb is made to explode. That's its meaning, its purpose. Your life is empty because you spend it trying to stop the bomb from becoming. And for who? For what? Do you know what a bomb is, Jack, that doesn't explode? It is a cheap gold watch, buddy.
Pop quiz, hotshot.
Terrace holding a police hostage. He's got enough dynamite strapped to his chest to blow a building in half. Now, what do you do?
I'm an American. Yeah.
An American civilian. Hi, Yanks.
Hi.
American.
Now, I didn't know till 2 weeks before I came here that I was even going to be in the picture, much less play the photojournalist, the guy in tatters and rags, taking photographs, trying to explain what this was all about and how it's blown his mind away.
I was not in the greatest of shape, you know, as far as, like, my career was concerned. When I was... delightful to hear that I was going to go do anything, anywhere.
And I really appreciate Francis Wright. Even though he does drop it on you sometimes, and it does take you sometimes, an idiot like me, a whole day to learn it.
Why did you say that to him in the scene?
Who?
Something clever like that.
When he says, "Who are you?" Why did you say, "Who are you?"
Because I haven't learned my lines yet.
I know, you've had them for 5 days.
The other thing I'd like to say is that...
These glasses,
I can't see anything through them. But, like, you know, every crack represents a life I've saved. You know what I mean? They represent a life I've saved.
But you all that in the scene.
I do, but you see, the director, you know, the director says, "You don't know your lines." And then, like,
well,
you know...
Well, if you know your lines, then you can forget them.
Oh,
no, more or less.
I see. But that's what I'm trying to do. Forget those lines.
No, but it's not fair to forget them if you never knew them.
I'm not going to help you. You're going to help him, man. You're going to help him. I mean, what are they going to say, man, when he's gone, huh? Because he dies when it dies, man. When it dies, he dies. What are they going to say about him? What are they going to say? He was a kind man. He was a wise man. He had plans. He had wisdom. Bulls, man. Am I going to be the one that's going to set them straight? Look at me wrong.
You.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Okay, those last two weren't Dennis Hopper, obviously. Hearts of Darkness, Blue Velvet, Hoosiers, much, much more. Salute Dennis Hopper. Mike, Christina, thank you for sitting in with
me. Thank you, Matt, for
having you.
We'll definitely continue this. Definitely a part two. There definitely will be a sequel to this trio, I can assure you. So until next time, go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org.